Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona, and coming soon to Louisiana. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need. Sign up today and bet $10 to get $200 in free bets. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a $100,000 guaranteed contest for the big game, plus a 100% deposit match over at ThriveFantasy.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $15,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com and get started today. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. And of course, while you're downloading apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Heidi Ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 113. So we'll send it out to number 13, the greatest Canadian basketball player of all time, Steve Nash. This one goes out to you, especially since you're now forced to coach Kyrie Irving and James Harden to a lesser extent. So this one goes out to you, Mr. Nash. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I would be the host. My name currently would be Jeff Doomsday Fox or Doomsday. No, I think it has to go in the middle. Jeff Doomsday Fox. And I come to you from the very snowy northern campus of the MMA Gambling Podcast Studios, where we're being hit with a maybe not quite a snow apocalypse, but it's getting there. But I thought I'd share that with everyone, since we have listeners all over the world and some of you probably are in sunny locales and you want to live vicariously through my excitement here in the snow. So there you go. Hopefully also you're listening to us on our feed, the dedicated feed, MMA Gambling Podcast feed, so you get this in your ears immediately. Because as we've seen in the past, these lines on some of these fights that we give you picks for, the lines change very quickly. I like to pretend it's because of us, but I think it's just a coincidence. But anyhow, hopefully you subscribe to our feed. And if you have, or even if you haven't subscribed, if you could give us a review on Apple Podcasts, even if it's a bad review, I don't care. As long as it's bad about my co-host and good about me, then that's actually preferred. So do that, because we have a little internal contest right now to see who, or a competition to see which of the SGPN podcasts can get the most reviews in a week, I think it is. So anyhow, if you go in there, give us a review. Tell us how horrible Gumby is and how much money he's cost you and your wife left you because of it, all that stuff. Let us know that, and we would appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the SGPN network. January was a record month for the network. Record number of downloads, record number of listeners. We are rocket strapped. We're headed to the top. So thank you. We couldn't do it without all of you, obviously. So thank you for listening. And obviously, anyone who gives us a review, thank you for that. Make the review funny. That's even better. Make it funny. All right, let's bring in my cohort here, the one that you're going to trash in all the reviews because he went 0 for 7 last week and probably cost you all of your savings. We seem to learn a little bit, little something new about him every week. Last episode, we learned that he listens to CDs still and not doesn't stream music. So he is a very anti-millennial, anti-generation, whatever the next generation is, Z or whatever it is my son claims to be. What else can I tell you? He's come down from the mountain up high where he was born. He's come down from the mountain to tell us the MMA gambling gospel and give you your picks. He is Man Mountain Gumby, Mr. Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Hey, you didn't really give me anything to dispute this week. Nope. I was, you can feel free to write bad reviews with my name if it needs to write reviews. I'm not going to dispute that. You could have dedicated episode 13 to the most mediocre high school goalie in the history of Western Massachusetts.
You played goalie?
Yeah. No,
in what? Hockey?
I played soccer. Yeah,
oh, soccer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I played all of the positions that involve not running a real lot that are really damaging to your body anyway. In sports,
You play catcher, so that
goes
against that.
You don't run a lot, and your body gets hurt.
I know, but it destroys your body, doesn't it?
Aren't your knees destroyed by that? That's what I said. Same thing with goalie. Oh, you don't run a lot, and it destroys your body. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Now I do jujitsu, so I don't run a lot, and I destroy my body. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's pretty great. And for a while, I did play a little basketball, not very much, because I wasn't very good. But I was a center then, so I guess that's the least amount of running and the most amount of damage, right?
Giant, yes, giant was, Dan.
Yeah, I'm not a giant. In
Hulking Western, presence.
In Western Massachusetts, if you're 6 foot tall, you're a center. Never mind that I didn't actually play for a high school and I played like rec league, so I was the tallest guy by a mile.
Wow, I didn't know there was a pygmy population or whatever in your area, but apparently there is.
I don't know. There's like tall, like it's just that it's like a very small town, so you have like less kids to choose from. So like rarely you have a big tall guy, but not very often do you have a big tall folk.
Man, I should have moved where you were. I could have been a star.
Yeah, you could have been a star in like crappy Western Mass basketball. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you'd have been great.
Exactly, that would have been a dream. Would have been a dream, but then I may not have ended up on this podcast because I would have been in the NBA with my counterpart, Steve Nash, right?
So, yeah. There you go.
And his former team, the Phoenix Suns, spanked his current team he's coaching last night, the Brooklyn Nets. So thank you very much. 11 straight wins for my Phoenix Suns. I think because I've been watching them is why they're winning.
And that's Brooklyn works, didn't right? cover the spread, which I happen to know.
I wonder why. The degenerate would know what that. I bet a lot of people listening know that also. So, I had someone text me last night about that, saying how much he hates James Harden and he needs him to lose for his bet tonight. So he hates him even more. So it came through. James Harden lost. So no worries there. No, who's better, Devin Booker or James Harden? That's a question I put out there. At this point,
Devin Booker's a better scorer.
Yes.
How about that?
And defender. Better defender, too, I would say.
Yeah, and probably a better defender. But, like, James Harden, I think I would probably still take in crunch time because he's going to draw a foul no matter what. And
yeah, that's true.
He is better at dishing the ball, too. But some of that's because he's got better people to dish it to.
No, good points. Good points. This is
not
a...
Give me with my basketball analysis. That all
Dan knows basketball. people who read sportsgamblingpodcast.com know that Dan writes the weekly basketball column. Usually you do pretty good on that DFS column you do too, right? You usually get in the money fairly often.
Was it last week or the week before I did it wasn't last week. Somebody got hurt last week and that screwed me over. But it was the week before, I think, that I had a real good one.
I hope you actually are playing them too, not just leave them for our fans. Good, there you go. So that's why I don't. Oh, basically, I probably don't have to pay you for this podcast then, right? I can tell Sean that don't worry about paying it. This is he's making enough off his basketball winnings. So, and yeah, hopefully we can win you people some money this week. We're not a basketball podcast. I think we should make a list of everything I say we're not because we're not a basketball podcast. We're not a political podcast. We're not. There's a lot of things.
We're not a Napoleon Dynamite spinoff.
Not a Napoleon Dynamite. That's because we got all our Napoleon lines out right before we went on air. So we got it out of our system, people. We've got a fight card this week, if you want to call it that.
I think this fight card is amazing. Are we really going there? It's a great one.
Because you're into the – it's an average fight card with non-bold capitalized names on it. But it's got a lot of interesting people on it. If you're hardcore and if you're listening to this, you probably are hardcore. But, there's some interesting debuts. Yeah, it's very interesting. But it's – how meaningful is it? There's maybe – the main event's probably the only fight that is meaningful and only if a certain person wins it probably.
I mean, like, immediately meaningful to a title picture, yes. Yeah. You are 1,000% correct.
Or even the top 10, maybe? Like, is there anybody
there's
else
somebody who,
ranked?
If he wins, there's somebody who, if he wins, I think belongs in the top 10.
Okay.
At least one more person who I would put in the top 10, and another one who, if he won and convincingly, you might put in the top 15.
See, Dan is a professional podcaster. He knows how to
people. There's already somebody in the top 15 too. Alexis Davis.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's something I was gonna bring up. You know what, this fight card is lousy meeting lots of, you know, there's a whole bunch of Canadians on this fight card, Dan, which means we're gonna have to bring back our Canadian trivia prove Dan can play the role of the dumb American. Sometimes you're pretty good at it, so maybe you do okay. We'll see if you know your Canadians and your Canadian news. And I dedicated the podcast to a Canadian, so it's all coming. We all wrap it up like a episode of Seinfeld. Everything ties together at the end, right?
That's
probably
right.
Before your time. You probably never watched it.
No, I was a Seinfeld guy.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Seinfeld fits right there in my schism.
Perfect. All right, any news that needs to be discussed before we jump into the card? Holly Holm versus Ketlin Vieira was just announced as a headliner. I think that was a fight we predicted would happen, was it not, after Vieira won the last fight?
I'm almost – well, but it's easier to just predict that winning bantamweight fights Holly Holm next.
Yep. Is it a bantamweight fight or featherweight?
It's bantamweight. They're actually fighting at bantamweight. I think because this is a pretty logical number one contenders fight / – backup fighter for if Amanda Nunes can't make fight week.
Right.
So like that seems like the logical. But you missed the co-main event of that fight card. Did you talk about that one?
Gustafsson versus Rothwell?
Yeah. Alexander Gustafsson versus Ben Rothwell is the weirdest thing. I saw shout out to Big Marcel on Twitter. He's the Big Marcel 24 is the guy who, if you're looking for fight announcements as fast as you can possibly get them. He's the one who puts them out there.
Is he always right? Sorry to interrupt, but is he accurate usually?
I've never seen him miss one.
Okay, good.
He sources them to, like, he's rarely, like, the first person source.
Right.
And he usually lists the source, too, which is really nice. So then you don't have to doubt it. One time he did say that somebody might have fallen out because the manager said that he had fallen out, and then he didn't actually fall out. But that's the one time. Anyway, but he posted the pictures of Ben Rothwell next to Alexander Gustafsson next to each other, and I had to squint at it and be like, wait, really? And then I looked to make sure it wasn't a parody account of him, because people make parody accounts of this dude all the time, and then, like, announce crazy-ass matchups and try to get people to click on it. But, like, I just saw it, and I was like, wait a second, is this a parody? And then it wasn't. And that, to me, is even greater.
No doubt. Yeah, this is not a matchup we expected to see at all.
I didn't ever expect to see Alexander Gustafsson ever again, as long as we're being real honest. I never thought
we may not, though. You know, that's the thing. He's had fights announced recently that hasn't come through, so maybe we haven't. Yeah, he's one of those great disappointments. We touch on them every once in a while, guys, that just didn't pan out, and he's one of them, eh?
I think he panned out. It was just like it was once he didn't hit the highest of highs, right? Like he flew really close to the sun in his wings of wax, and then like plummeted.
Boy.
He plummeted so hard after that, right? Like
it was not a
graceful fall for the top for Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah.
It was, although he holds a wild knockout victory over the current champ, Glover Teixeira, yeah. It's one of my favorite knockouts of all time, actually. I think it's super underrated on, like, the list of knockouts. He hits him with, like, literally three of the exact same uppercut in a row.
Like a video game, like a Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat game, where you're just spamming the buttons and you find one that's working, and you just keep hitting
it. The Jack's uppercuts. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, hopefully he comes back. But I guess it's not fair to say he was a failure, because it's like saying every basketball player who played during Jordan's time was a failure. Like, he was up against he went up against John Jones. And
when he was one round away from owning a title multiple times.
Yeah,
multiple times, because he was that for I mean, like, I know everybody remembers the John Jones ones. He was that with Daniel Cormier, too. He was a round away from taking a title.
Daniel who?
Cormier.
Oh, Cormier, right, yes. The Mass, Western Mass, the way of saying it, apparently.
Cormier.
Yeah, well, we have Marc-André Barrio on this week's card, so you got to get your accents right here.
But are you going to say not, Alexis Davy?
No, she's not from Quebec, no. But this isn't a Alexander Gustafsson podcast, is it, Dan? No, we're not at Alexander. Hopefully people are keeping track of things I say that about now, because I'm not going to do it. Well, the only prep we do is I joke about not doing prep, but I do a lot of prep for these.
You do, I know.
A few hours to go through this stuff, but I enjoy doing, maybe I'm a nerd, but I kind of like, for some reason, doing the little write-ups on each fighter. I don't know. I guess it helps me make my picks, and then it helps me write all the articles I get paid for, so maybe that's why I enjoy it. But anyhow, let's jump into the card. But first, let's jump into telling you about WynnBET, of course, because they're the greatest. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and coming soon, Louisiana. The list is getting so long. Out of breath. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. And I mentioned Louisiana. WynnBET is now beginning pre-registration for the state of Louisiana. Place a $10 bet, and regardless of the outcome, you'll receive $250 in free bets when WynnBET goes live in Louisiana. All other new customers have a chance to get $200 in free bets with the same $10 bet. Don't forget about all the props that will be available on WynnBET for the Super Bowl, whatever that is. Super Bowl. Okay. The best part, you can build your own bet to create a prop-focused same-game parlay for the big game. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. For booster parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. Super Bowl, is that like a copy of the Grey Cup? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, it's like a fancy Grey Cup.
Oh, okay. All right, I got it then. All right, let's talk about Stable Dough, too, while I'm on a roll here. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. The best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you are brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Dough, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes, which we all love. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $15,000 with one entry. That sounds very nice. Don't know anything about horses? Nope. Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against just our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. So download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stables. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. All right. Boom. Have you done both your podcasts and talked about this fight card ad nauseum already, Dan?
No, just one podcast so far.
Okay.
You are without being the third one here.
Well, that's good because you haven't had time probably to think out a lot of these things, so maybe I can get
it. No, I'm pretty confident in my picks.
Are you?
Yeah, I like the ones.
Yeah. I always like to ask, how was the fight card to pick for you, Dan? Anything stand out?
There were a couple of dogs that I couldn't believe were dogs.
Yeah, me too.
I'm pretty pumped about it. So.
Yep. Oh, isn't that the best thing after you've, or the best thing for me is after I do all the research and then I try not to look at the odds until I do the research and kind of have in my mind who I want to pick. And then I see, well, they're plus 160. Oh, nice.
Yeah that, and I had that feeling a couple of times here.
Yeah. I'm thinking we may have some picks tracking one another this week once again. As for our consensus picks, this year we're only 9-8 so far on consensus picks. We got to pick that up, Dan. We're only at 53% for the year, but overall we're 60% since I started tracking it, but starting last year. So something to think about. We have to be on the same page. All right. Let's break her down. This is a UFC fight night once again from the UFC Apex in Enterprise, Nevada, February the 5th, which would be Saturday. We got a 4 p.m. Eastern start time for the prelims on ESPN Plus, and then the main card is 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. Check that. Some of these don't, TSN doesn't pick up for some reason, which sucks. So, anywho, let's get into it. We had, we'll mention this, but we had a fighter fallout, but someone has already come in to fill in for him. So we've got 13 fights on this card, and we will begin with the little guys, flyweights. We've got a debuting fighter here. First, we have Malcolm X Gordon and Denny's Psycho Bondar. We'll tell you about Malcolm X Gordon first. He's Canadian. Ha ha ha. I forgot he was Canadian too. Fantastic. All right. Let me think. I got to hit Dan with some Canadian trivia. Do you know where Malcolm Gordon's from? First of all.
Malcolm Gordon is from...
If you don't know, I can tell you. That's not.
No, really I don't know where he's from.
All right,
no,
he was born in Calgary, but he's fighting out of Toronto now. So, okay, he was born in Calgary. What province is Calgary in?
Alberta.
Yes, very good.
That's the trivia for him. We'll move on, and we'll get to another Canadian. We've got plenty more time for Canadian.
I was just going to ask you
Oh, it's the Calgary Flames.
There you go. That's a bonus question. And what's their CFL team name? Never mind.
Stampede.
Yeah,
look at that.
Wow, and fantastic.
I'm 3 for 3, and we're
you
not
are,
even on
yeah,
the second
he is on
Canadian.
Fire. He is on fire. Let's see if he's on fire with his picks. We'll tell you about I'm telling you about Malcolm Gordon. He is Canadian, like I said. Usually Canadians screw us over with their picks, so keep that in mind. He's 13-5, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, so all of his losses have come via finish, which is kind of surprising since he's fighting at flyweight here. He used to fight at bantamweight also, but still. Lower the weight, less finishes. So anyhow, he is 1-2 in the UFC. He lost his first two fights, got a third shot, which he doesn't always happen, especially with the lighter weights, and he won his last fight, so he saved his job there probably. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He's won multiple regional championships. Like I said, he did fight at bantamweight. He's an inch taller than Bondar. He's at plus 205. Yes, he's a underdog against a newcomer. How about a newcomer who's psycho, apparently? Is he psycho, Dan? I don't know much about Denny's Bondar. Is he psycho? Does he live up to the nickname?
I would say his fighting style fits that, but I don't know too much about him personally.
Should not the main event, someone in the main event, be nicknamed psycho instead?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean Thomas Strickland, of course.
I like we're going three names.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I explained it before. With serial killers, you name all three names, so you know another Sean Strickland doesn't get pointed for all the heinous crimes that happen. I think that's why they do that, don't they? I'm pretty sure that's why. Except there are some serial killers that, like Ted Bundy, what's his middle name? I don't know. There are some that you don't hear the middle name, which is strange, but this is not a serial killer podcast, is it?
It's not.
Okay. All right, Bondar, 14-2, 4 knockouts, 10 submissions. So once again, we got finishes, nothing but finishes, which is very, very impressive for a flyweight guy or a bantamweight for that matter. This is his debut. Like I said, he's won 8 straight fights, all via finish, because that's all he does is finish. His last fight was back in August of 2020, though. He had a bunch of UFC fights that fell through, right, in between that time?
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Was it on his behalf, or do you know the story behind any of those? Or
I know he was supposed to have fought Malcolm Gordon before, and I'm pretty sure the reason why that one ended was just one of them tested positive for COVID, and we're not quite sure which one. I know he was injured with one of the other ones, and I also think he had an issue with a weight cut against Ode Osborne.
Okay. I thought COVID was over. Is that incorrect?
It is now. Yes, correct.
Okay, good. Whew. All right, what else can I tell you? He did used to fight at bantamweight, like I said. He was regional champ also. I don't know his reach. That has not been released yet. So I think Malcolm Gordon's got an insane reach, though, doesn't he? Let me check his reach.
Yeah,
I believe
he's 70 inches, which is quite long for his.
71, I see. Yeah, so basically if it's 71, it means he's got a 5'11" reach, and he's only 5'7". So, yeah. I'm guessing he's probably going to – Gordon probably will have the reach advantage here, but I don't know for sure. Bondar is 2 years younger, minus 270. Tell me what you know about Bondar, Dan. I'm picking him, but tell me if that's a smart pick.
I'm going to pick him too. He's a furious wrestler, like a very mean one, relentless, lots of forward pressure, super hard to deal with when he's on top of you because he's got really heavy pressure and he holds people down. Like, I'm just really impressed with him on that front. And granted, against lower-level competition on the regional circuit, but, like, it's also the perfect style to deal with Malcolm Gordon, right? Because Malcolm Gordon, his only win is by out-wrestling Francisco Figueiredo. And in addition to that, like, he out-wrestled him, but mostly because he just had, like, better cardio. And Bondar both has better cardio and is phenomenal at taking people down and defending takedowns. So, like, I don't even think this one needs a terribly long breakdown because I just think Dennis Bondar here is just going to out-grapple Gordon when he wants to and maybe even strike with him if he feels comfortable doing so. But if it doesn't work, he just goes back to the ground and wins there.
Are you, you're learning your lesson from last week and when wrestling bit you in the ass with all your picks,
yeah,
right?
I'm backing all the wrestlers in this one.
There you go. Usually that's not a bad plan. If you're just going to blanket take all the wrestlers, it's probably you'd end up ahead in the end of the day. All right, let's move on to Wikipedia's got the wrong order, I believe. Let's move on to welterweights. Jason Vanilla Gorilla Witt versus Philip Rowe, who is the Fresh Prince. Witt was on the Top Turtle podcast that Dan hosts last week, so keep that in mind, even though Dan claims there's no jinx. Dan also said the Vanilla Gorilla is one of the greatest nicknames ever, which I took exception to. Witt has a good story behind his, but it's not a good nickname, Dan.
Should that be the one we switch you to?
It's no, Jeff Vanilla Gorilla. That would be horrible.
The Vanilla Gorilla Fox. I feel like your son would really enjoy that.
He probably would. All right, let me tell you about
it. See how it sticks.
I will. If he allows me to talk to him, I will. If he's not like, what do you want? What are you doing in here? If I don't hear that, then maybe I'll pitch it to him. All right, Vanilla Gorilla. Use weight, Dan. You got a few years before that. You just wait. Vanilla Gorilla, 19-7, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, subbed twice. So it's all finishes is how he has lost. 2-2 in the UFC. Hey, we got one of our lovely patterns here. Loss, win, loss, win. What's our loss, win stats doing? So far, 3 wins, 1 loss for that. So 75% accurate if you just bet people based on their pattern. And I'm only tracking that if the pattern's like 4 fights or more. There's a real science behind this. But, hey, 75%, you can't lose there. He was 0-1 in Bellator, used to fight at middleweight. He's got grappling stat advantage over Rowe, plus 120. Philip Rowe is the Fresh Prince. 8-3, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. So everything is a finish for him. 1-1 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. He was got his way into the UFC via Contender Series, which he won his fight there. All right, here are the big discrepancies here. 5 inches taller than Witt. 10 inches of reach. That's right, 10 inches of reach. 4 years younger than him. So all those are very, very strongly into Rowe's favor. Striking stats in his favor, and plus he's almost 2 times more active landing strikes. Minus 150. I guess your turn since I blurted out my Bondar pick first.
I'm going to take the Vanilla Gorilla, believe it or not.
Of course you will. I believe it.
First of all, I like the dog money. And second of all, like the dude just got done out-wrestling Brian Barberena. And I'm to believe here that Philip Rowe is going to stop him from scoring excessive amount of takedowns and you know, controlling this fight for 15 minutes. I mean, I think he's just going to control Philip Rowe. And the other thing about Philip Rowe, he's really high on his own jiu-jitsu. Like, has done a whole bunch of jiu-jitsu competitions against, like, really high-level guys and takes those types of super fights and stuff like that all the time. He really thinks he's really great at jiu-jitsu, and I don't doubt that he is. But, like, I also just don't think he's going to get a sub off of his back. But I think he is willing to fight that battle, and I think that just winds up with him underneath Jason Witt for a longer period of time. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Jason Witt. I think he controls this fight long enough. I love the dog money here. So, yeah, I'll take Witt.
I'll be taking Rowe. Always, if in doubt, always go with the striker, especially one with 10 inches of reach advantage. But, yeah, the wrestling is a concern. Rowe has a sparkling 50% takedown defense rate. So, yeah, that is a bit of a concern, but I'll bet against the pattern, of course, and I will take Rowe at minus 150. All right, let's go to, a fun one. Superfan Jong's man
his
crush
boyfriend.
Is making his, is making his UFC debut at light heavyweight, Jailton Almeida. You may know him as Jailton Jr. You may know him as Jailton Mulhadino. What does that mean? When I translated it, it said piebald.
Piebald. So piebald is, if I'm not mistaken, means half albino. Am I incorrect about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Piebald means like speckled or like partially albino. I only know that because my dad, being a deer hunter, has seen piebald deer, because sometimes deer will be not all the way albino, but only partially albino.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yes,
Horses. Check out this knowledge. I'm on fire.
You're so smart. You're so smart. All right. So that is the guy that we all went gaga on over this past season of the Contender Series. He is fighting Danilo Marquez, who does not have a nickname, especially not one as cool as Piebald. Marquez, 11-3, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice. 2-1 in the UFC. He won his first two fights and lost his last one via TKO. He was the GCF champ, whatever that is, but he was the champ there. He used to fight down a weight class at middleweight, 3 inches taller than Almeida, grappling stats in his favor, but we're talking only one fight Almeida's had under the UFC banner. And he's at plus 290. Jailton Jr., Almeida. Is he a junior? Why is he called junior?
I don't know. He seems to have shed that nickname, too. When he was, like, on the up and up, he was just Jailton Jr. Like, no, you wouldn't even see Almeida or anything.
I say yeah like I know, like I was paying attention. Yeah, of course. But, no, I haven't seen Jr. anywhere recently. So, all right. So he's 14-2, 5 knockouts, 9 submissions. Everything is a finish. This is his official UFC debut after, like I said, impressing us on this past season of Dana White's Contender Series. He's won 9 straight fights, all via finish, because he's finished every one of his opponents that he's beat. He's won multiple regional championships, 2 inches of reach on Marquez, 6 years younger, striking stats in his favor, plus he's 5 times more active. But like I said, that's based off of one fight. Minus 400, I will be taking Jailton Almeida. I don't like minus 400, but obviously he's the slam dunk pick here.
Yeah, I don't even mind the minus 400. Like, yeah, not a great return. We'll talk about props a little bit later on in the show and stuff like that. But this is such an obvious pick. It's not even funny. He's a great grappler. He gets top position excellently. He's going to fight a guy who's a worse striker than he is and wants to grapple with him, which is crazy. I won't break this down any further other than to let you know that Jailton Almeida has beaten a guy named Ednaldo Oliveira, who is in the UFC, but also Edvaldo Oliveira, which is Ednaldo. He beat Ednaldo and Edvaldo Oliveira. I don't know if they're related, but it's worth noting, and that's the end of my analysis.
Dan is full. Like you said, you are full of information. It's crazy, the amount of information that we are giving you this week to help you make your picks. Let's tell you about another – let's give you some more information about a place you should check out, Thrive Fantasy. How about Thrive Fantasy – come pop up on Thrive Fantasy for the big game. They're talking about the big game, too. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Choose 10 out of the 20 available player props to build your lineup for the Bengals versus the Rams. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under based on how likely it is to hit. Hit the most props and rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has a $100,000 guaranteed contest for the big game. That is $25 to enter, and first place takes home $20,000. Not too shabby. That's podcast money, like I said. Use promo code SGP when you sign up today, and you will receive a 100% instant first deposit match up to $100. Plus, deposit $10 or more to receive the match, plus two free $100,000 contest entries. Download the Thrive Fantasy app on App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today, thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. And let's move on to Prop Swap. We're brought to you by Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The only thing more exciting than watching the NFL playoffs is prop swapping the NFL playoffs. January was Prop Swap's biggest month ever, as bettors from across the country cashed in on their Super Bowl futures. Like Jamie from New York, who sold a $100 25-1 Bengals Super Bowl ticket for $1,000. The buyer got great odds, and Jamie made 10 times his money. Prop Swap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free Prop Swap app today. Prop Swap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and Prop Swap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Dan, should Jamie have sold his Super Bowl Bengals ticket, or should he have hung on to it?
Man, I said last week the Bengals are going to win, by the way. Another genius play by me.
Wow. So you think Jamie should have hung on to it and tried to win $2,500 instead of only getting $1,000?
No, I think I'd probably take the $1,000.
Do you think Jamie exists, or they just made that up for the ad copy?
I believe they're really a Jamie. They have a lot of stuff going on over there.
They do. It's a thriving place, even though it's not Thrive Fantasy. It is Prop Swap. But yes. All right. Moving on. What should we move on to? Let's see who's next on the menu here. Oh, it's the aforementioned Alexis Davis. This would be a women's bantamweight fight. Alexis Davis versus Julia Stolyarenko. So Alexis Davis is a Canadian, as we said. Let me see what trivia I can get you on Alexis. Maybe not Alexis Davis necessarily, but what other Canadian trivia can I tell you? Can I get you to ask? I can ask you, I mean. What famous Canadian got diagnosed with COVID-19, Dan?
What famous Canadian?
Yes, it was a news story. It's a news story. It's not like a...
Is it Trudeau?
Does yes,
Trudeau?
It is.
No way, Justin really? Trudeau. That's the only Canadian. Look at 4 for 4 on the Canadian trivia.
Dan's so happy about it, too.
I'm having a great day.
That the Prime Minister's sick. He's so happy. You
told me somebody was sick. I don't care who it is. It's just one person.
Exactly. Very true. Very true. All right. Let's break down this interesting fight. Davis is the alligator, by the way. Ha ha. Play on her name, plus, I guess, play on jiu-jitsu, too, I'm guessing.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Sure. she is a jiu-jitsu player. All right. Julia Stolyarenko, 9-5-2 with 8 submissions. So she likes her jiu-jitsu as well. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once. She's 0-3 in the UFC over 2 stints. She was on the Ultimate Fighter, where she went 1-1. She was in Invicta for one fight where she won the championship. She used to fight up at featherweight, and this one's down at bantamweight. She's got a regional championship on her resume as well. She's an inch taller than Davis, 9 years younger, plus 175. The Alligator, 20-11, 2 knockouts, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. She's 7-6 in the UFC. She's only won 1 of her last 5 fights. Excuse me. She's 1-4. And she did lose her last fight. She's fought down a weight class and up a weight class. She's fought at flyweight and featherweight. This one's right in the middle. She also was in Invicta, where she went 2-0. She also was in Strikeforce, where she went 2-1. She also was a regional champion. She made her debut way back in 2007, so she's one of the pioneers of women's MMA. She had 2 inches of reach on Stolyarenko. Striking stats in her favor, plus she's 2 times more active striking, plus grappling stats in her favor, which is basically what she excels in. Minus 225. I believe you're up first.
I'm going to take Stolyarenko.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am.
You're not super happy about that, though.
I'm not super happy about picking either of these two, right?
No,
like, Stolyarenko, 0-3 in the UFC. Alexis Davis, 1-4 in her last four. But her only win is against a flyweight at bantamweight in Sabina Mazo. And, like, in general, she's just had a lot of trouble getting people down recently and winds up losing decisions to those, with the exception of Sabina Mazo, who she took down regularly. Stolyarenko is kind of not the easiest woman to take down. She's very big. She's very physically strong. She, if I'm not mistaken, is a judo black belt from Lithuania. So, like, yeah, she got taken down one time by Julia Avila, but Julia Avila is huge and very physically strong. Her other fight was against Yana Kunitskaya. So, like, I think as long as she's able to stuff Davis here, I think she'll probably, like, outwork her in the long run. It to me, I, like, want to fade both of these two, but at the end of the day, if that's the case, why not take the plus 185?
No, good points, good points. Stolyarenko, 71% takedown defense, so it is pretty solid. I'll be taking Davis regardless. Just as good a grappler, better striker, so I don't like the minus 225. This is more of a pick'em range fight for me, but I'm not playing the line. I'm picking who I think is going to win, and that would be Davis, but this is probably a fight I wouldn't put real money on if I wasn't a real degenerate, but everyone listening is, so you have to put $100 on the fight. That's just the way it goes. That's the rules. For people who have been around for a while, they know that is the rules. $100 per fight, or you're not a true degen. All right, middleweights, Chidi Njoku-Kuani, and we finally have Njoku-Kuani back in the UFC. His name is Chidi Bang Bang. He's fighting Marc-Andre Berrio, whose nickname is Power Bar. I don't think we ever figured out why he's Power Bar, right?
No, but it's fucking great.
It is. All right, he's Canadian, everybody. He's from Gatineau, Quebec. All right, let me think of I was going to say, what province is Gatineau in? But I just told you that, didn't I? It's in Quebec. All right. Boom, 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 boom. All right, you know, what's the biggest city in Quebec?
Is it Quebec City?
No. Wow, God, you got it wrong already. Quebec City was going to be my – what's the second biggest city? Quebec City. What's the biggest city in Quebec,
I got one of the two.
I know, but think about it.
Montreal. Montreal.
Yeah. All right, forget it.
I'll take a small loss there. I thought you were for sure going to ask me about the hockey team.
No, okay, fine. What was the name of the hockey team in Quebec City back in the day?
They were the Nordiques.
Where did they move to?
Colorado and became the Avalanche.
And then they won championships.
Yeah.
Not fair.
With one of our guys, too. Yeah, we lost Ray Bourque, and he went and won a championship.
That's right.
Somebody else.
Yeah. Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg won the championship for him.
Yeah, Patrick Roy.
Yes, Patrick Roy. But this is not a Colorado Avalanche podcast, right? This is a Njoku-Kuani versus Berrio podcast. This one is pretty much, speaking of pick-ems, this one's pretty much a pick-em on the board. I'm interested in Dan's take on this one. I'll break it down for you first. For the slight underdog would be the newcomer, Chidi Bang Bang, 20-7 with one no contest. So after 28 fights, he's finally making his UFC debut. 12 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out three times. He's been submitted three times. He's making his debut off of the Contender Series. He's one of the people that impressed the boss enough to get a contract last year. He's won two straight fights. He was in Bellator for eight fights, where he went 5-3. He's also won multiple titles on the regional scene. Used to fight down at welterweight. He made his debut way back in 2007. So he's been around 15 years in the game. He's finally getting a shot at the big time, which is nice to see. 2 inches taller than Berrio, 6 inches of reach on him. So half a foot of reach. Striking stats in his favor, but that's based off of one fight. Minus 105 on him. Power Bar is 13-4 with one no contest. He's got 9 knockouts on his resume. He's 2-3 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. Should be 3 straight, but he was using some substances you aren't allowed to use and got one of his fights. 3 fights ago, he got changed to a no contest, the fight that he had won. He also has won multiple titles on the regional scene. He used to fight up a weight class at light heavyweight. 2 years younger than Njoku-Kuani, but 1.5 times more active striking, but that's based off one fight, plus his grappling stats are better than Njoku-Kuani's based off of one fight. Minus 120. Tough one to pick. I'm going to go with this light underdog in Njoku-Kuani. He looked very good in on the Contender Series, and Berrios kind of been up and down in the UFC, like two and three with one no contest kind of proves that. He has won two straight fights, so but I'm still not totally sold on him. So I'll give the newcomer a shot, but this may be a fight I would shy away from if I was going to put real money down on it.
You see, I'm the opposite. I love Chidi Njokuani in this fight.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's an absolute steal at negative 105. And I think if you were smart enough to get him early in the week, he was actually plus 140. And people have been so all over him that he's now into negative money. So if you are hearing this podcast today, Wednesday night, and you are thinking about betting Chidi Njokuani, do it right now. Open up your phone right now. Go to WinBet, get yourself some Chidi Njokuani prices, because you ain't going to get those kind of prices long. He's going to continue to go that way. Because here's the thing. Berrio is a guy who he's gotten those wins largely out of just, like, surviving huge onslaughts and being the tougher guy. And Chidi hits so freaking hard. Like, he's a guy with crazy good knockout power. His kickboxing's excellent. And his cardio is really good. I don't think Berrio is just going to wear him down. So as a result, I think this is a terrible matchup for Berrio. I can't believe they posted Njokuani as an underdog. And yeah, like I think while you might want to stay away from this one, you'll hear this one later in my preferred picks.
Well, maybe I don't want to stay away from it now. But what should everyone do when they pull out their phones before they go and make that bet? What should they do first, Dan?
They should download the SGPN app.
And what should they do?
And leave us a review.
Yes, they should leave us a review. Exactly. They should leave us a review. All right. Oh, I thought that was it for Canada. I forgot. We got another Canadian. We got Mean Hakeem. How could I forget about – so there's four Canadians on here? Wow. How could I forget about Mean Hakeem Dawadu fighting Michael Trizano, or you can call him Mike if you want also. They are fighting at featherweight. All right. Let me see. Ah, Dawadu is from Calgary also. Do I have any other Calgary trivia for you? What's the, not like a city, but what's the other, Calgary is the biggest city in Alberta. What's the other, pretty much the only other big city in Alberta that's close to Calgary?
It's close in proximity or close in size?
Well, yeah, it's close in size. Yeah, both, I would say.
Oh, it's got to be Edmonton.
Yes. Wow. You are amazing. All right.
They got sports teams.
What's their hockey team's name, Dan?
The
Oilers. Edmonton Oilers. Yes. Yes. All right. Were they ever good, ever, those Oiler guys?
I don't think so. Not in my lifetime.
That's true. I grew up, they were amazing when I grew up. That's when they won like four Stanley Cups in a row, whatever it was, with Gretzky and Messier and all those guys. But that was before Dan's time. Very true. All right. Let's break down. This isn't an Edmonton Oilers podcast, though. not at this point, at least. All right. Mean Hakeem versus the Lone Wolf, Michael Trizano. The Lone Wolf is 9-1, two knockouts, two submissions, 3-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. He went 2-0 and won the championship because it all comes back to the Ultimate Fighter. That was at lightweight, right?
I'm putting you on the spot. Yes, I believe so, because it was with Joe Giannetti.
You're supposed to be my tough expert here, but yes, he used to fight at lightweight, so that would make sense. He won a couple regional championships as well. This is everyone on this card pretty much done that though, so maybe it's not a big thing. 3 inches taller than Dawadu, grappling stats in his favor, plus 140. But is he as mean as Hakeem? I don't know. Mean Hakeem is 12-2-1, 7 knockouts. 5-2 in the UFC, lost his last fight. He was in World Series of Fighting before this, where he went 7-0-1. So all of his fights were either in World Series of Fighting or UFC. So it's nothing but high-level MMA for this man. He was a Muay Thai and a kickboxer before all of this. He's got 2 inches reach on Trizano, more active striker, minus 175. Now it's your turn.
I'm going to take Mean Hakeem Dawadu. He's going to wreck my run of picking against Canadians the entire night. But, you mentioned Trizano with the better grappling skills. I think he does have better grappling skills, but I also think Dawadu has shown that he can stuff those for the most part, with the exception of he had a tough time with Movsar Abloev, which, like, you know, for what it's worth, Movsar Abloev is kind of a beast. I don't think Trizano's that good with the takedowns. I think Dawadu absolutely pieces him up on the feet. So, yeah, I like Mean Hakeem here.
As do I. Mean Hakeem, if in doubt, I tend to go with the striker. And wasn't really any doubt with this one anyhow, but yes. Main Hakeem is the pick. All right, main event of the prelims would be Miles Johns versus John Castaneda. Miles Chapo Johns versus Sexy Mexi, John Castaneda.
Maybe that's your new nickname.
Don't give it away. It's obviously going to be. What does that translate to in English, Dan? I don't know a lot of Spanish.
No, I don't. Me neither.
And it's I should spell it for everyone. It's Sexi space Mexi is how you spell it. Obviously.
Thank God.
All right. Castaneda, 18-5, 8 knockouts, 5 submissions, 1-1 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. He's gone win-loss-win over his last 3 fights. 5 inches of reach on Johns. Let's see how our reach stats are doing here. I'm tracking anyone with 4 inches of reach or more. How are they over their opponent? How have they done? 4-3 so far. So very small sample size, but not a huge advantage thus far. He's a more active striker of the two men. He's at plus 200. Miles Chapo Johns, 12-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights via knockout, 1-0 in the contender series. He was the LFA champ before all this. He used to fight at, what is this, bantamweight, right? He used to fight at featherweight. Inch taller, 3 years younger, striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, minus 200. I am in his favor as well. He's one of those. It seems like some of the shine has gone off him for some reason, but he's still one of the best prospects the UFC has in that weight class. So I will be taking Miles Johns.
Yeah, I think the flying knee knockout loss to Mario Bautista took a lot of that shine off. And like,
that might do it.
You know, like, and no shame in that, right? It's like just getting caught with like a funky strike. Do you know who he actually won the LFA title against?
Oh, I could look it up and cheat, but go ahead. You tell
me. He beat Adrian Yanez.
Really?
Which, like, you're right. Like, Miles Johns, it seems like the shine's off of him. Everybody talks about Adrian Yanez like he's, like, the second coming. So this is a guy who's taken him down and controlled him and, you know, struck with him for quite a while as well. I think Johns just has more ways to win here over Castaneda. I think he could take him down. He could control him there. I think he could box with him. I think he's faster than him. Yeah, just like too many skills here for Johns to pick against him. So yeah, I even like him at the number we see him at.
And Fortis MMA. So
and Fortis MMA, you always got to pick Fortis MMA.
Exactly. Not always, but usually it helps swing it in their favor more often than not. All right, that's the prelims. Let's tell you about our last couple of sponsor reads. Then the ad-free, promo-free, sponsor-free main card. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download the free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. It's totally free-to-play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide in all 50 states. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. And like Dan told you earlier on, download the SGPN app if you haven't already. We're live in the App Store and Google Play Store. Give the app an awesome review. It's got a lot of amazing things in there, like lots of contests. Bosses are always giving money away or entries into contests elsewhere, that type of thing. And we give you all our picks. You can access on there, our podcast. You can access on there all our articles. You can get Dan's NBA DFS right on the app there, so you can be in the money like he is, all that type of stuff. So make sure you grab it today. Thank you. And not good night, because we got 6 more fights to do. Let's begin with the opener of the main card. Featherweight, it's Julian Arosa versus Steven Peterson. Julian Arosa is back to being Juicy J because I gave his nickname back. Steven Peterson is Ocho. What does Ocho mean, Dan?
It means 8.
It means, sorry, excuse me?
8.
It means, why is that his nickname? Tell me the story behind that.
Ocho is the nickname for Steven Peterson because he grew up in L.A. and he moved to a Texas high school in the middle of high school season when he was, you know, roughly that age. They gave him the number 8, which is typically given to like a impressive quarterback or something like that. But despite the fact he was a freshman, the older kids didn't like that all that much, took a negative view of that and called him Ocho, sort of mocking him. And it was always what he was mocked with as the California kid for a while. And eventually he embraced it as like a powerful, I can overcome this nickname thing.
And Dan has, there you go. See, more useless information, right? If you have information. I don't know how useful it is, but it's information, right?
Yeah, I've always got it if you need it.
So what does Ocho Cinco mean then?
85. It doesn't even mean 85. It doesn't even mean 85, yeah, which is the most.
It's just two numbers.
Yeah.
I thought it meant Johnson. It doesn't mean Johnson?
It does not, no.
Oh, weird. All right, let's tell you about Ocho, not Cinco, just Ocho. Ocho Peterson, 19-9, five knockouts. Ocho submissions he has, Dan. That's nice, eh?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah.
Beautiful. 3-3 in the UFC. However, he's won his past two fights. His last fight, he did miss weight. This is the same weight class, right? Yeah, he missed weight at featherweight. This is a featherweight fight, yep. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series. Why did they let this bum in the UFC then if he can't even win the Contender Series, for crying out loud? Multiple regional championships are on his mantle. Or do they let you keep the belts, I wonder, in regional stuff? Interesting.
They do, yeah.
They do? So yeah. He's got a mantle full of belts then. He used to fight at bantamweight. He made his debut in 2010. He's at plus 220. Juicy J, fresh off getting his nickname back. He's 26-9, 11 knockouts, 12 submissions. So that's pretty well-rounded and a pretty big finisher right there. He's been knocked out himself five times. He's 4-5 in the UFC over three stints. However, this is his by far his most successful stint in the UFC. He's gone 3-1. He won his last fight via submission. He also was on the Ultimate Fighter where he went 3-1. He also has multiple regional championships on his mantle. I'm assuming everyone has a mantle, right?
Sure.
Every fighter has a mantle.
I'm sitting right next to mine right now.
There you go. He made his debut in 2010 as well. He's got he's 3 inches taller than Peterson, 4 inches of reach on him, more active striker, minus 290. You're first up.
I'm going to take Peterson.
Really?
I think the line's ridiculous, first of all, and it keeps getting wider. If you actually look back to when this was first posted, you would see Peterson, hang on, I had it written down right here. Yeah, Peterson opened at about 175. And you can find him in some books as high as like 260 now. Which are it's an insane jump. Like he's added almost plus 100 to it. I think that line is way too wide, especially if you've looked at the way that Julian Arosa have won. Like he's gone into fights with guys who are just almost like purely strikers, survived getting beaten up and then landed a big punch, which wobbled the guy and he submitted him. He's going to be fighting a guy who's got decent wrestling and a great chin in Steven Peterson. And I don't think he's even all that much better of a boxer than Steven Peterson. So to see this line both be wide to start and getting wider, if it's me, I'm just waiting until this fight gets a little bit closer to fight time, letting that line get wider, and just, you know, a small play on Steven Peterson makes a lot of sense here.
I will be taking Juicy J. I don't like the line. Like you said, it's a pretty crazy line, but the Juicy one's been looking very impressive as of late, and he's I think he's more well-rounded than Peterson. Would you agree with that?
I would not. No, I think he's got good, like, flashy subs, but most of his subs come when somebody's already hurt.
Okay, yeah.
So, like if you think about the Sean Woodson, I think it was a Darce choke, not an anaconda. It was because he hurt him. I don't think his subs are that good if the person isn't, like, woozy. Whereas I think Peterson is, like, a legitimately pretty good wrestler. We saw him stuff Chase Hooper, like, a dozen times. So, like, I think he's probably more well-rounded in the end.
All right. We shall see. Shan't we? All right, moving on. This was supposed to be the Ultimate Fighter finale, right?
Yes.
And it fell off. We're finally getting it. Middleweights, Trayshawn Gore versus Brian Battle. what can I tell you? Let's tell you about Battle first. He's Pooh Bear. 6-1, one knockout, four submissions, 1-0 in the UFC. He won his fight via submission. He's won 5 straight fights, all via finish. He was 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion. He's an inch taller than Gore. He's at plus 128. Gore is Mr. Vicious. He's 3-0 as a pro, 1 knockout, 1 submission. This will be his UFC debut after going 2-0 on Tough. Then what was it, an injury or was it? Yeah, it was injury. Right?
Yeah, he blew his knee out.
Okay. He has not had an official fight since October of 2020. I don't know the reach because we don't have reach listed for him, so I can't tell you what the reach battle will be here. He's at minus 160. This is one of those lines I was surprised by. I'm going with you probably know more about, well, you know more about Gore for sure, and you have spoken with Battle on your podcast, but I like Battle at plus 128. Am I crazy?
No, I'm going with Battle too.
Yeah, isn't he? Tell us about Gore for us who haven't watched.
So first of all, I think Gore is maybe a better striker. Okay. He's certainly more powerful, and I think that's why he comes in as a favorite. If you watch his victories, big, powerful, mean strikes. Battle, meanwhile, like willed his way to a lot of wins, especially when he beat Andre Petrovsky, who I'm really high on. He just kind of like tired him out and outworked him and picked up a late submission there. But the thing about Brian Battle is he's got that will. He's got that chin. He's got that ability to push forward. And I also think he's got like a better jiu-jitsu game than Gore. He looks like he's in incredible shape, like much better shape than he's been in the past. So I've got like a lot of positives to say about Battle here, and mostly just what I would say about people who are betting Tyson Gore is like, you're betting power punching. That's pretty much it in my opinion. So yeah, I like Battle at plus money to avoid a power punch.
There you go. Yeah, Battle is the pick. All right. This fight was just made. It was supposed to be actually Sam Alvey's had a couple of different opponents, hasn't he? He was supposed to fight Ian Heinisch. Heinisch pulled out. He was replaced by Phil Haas. Then he was supposed to fight Phil Haas in the middleweight belt. Now Haas pulled out. Was it yesterday? Yeah, Tuesday. And he's been replaced by Brendan Allen. And it's been moved up to light heavyweight. I see now as well.
what a
yeah.
Treat.
So yeah, exactly. All right. Let's tell you about. Smile and Sam, and Smile, what's that thing called? Apostrophe N? Smile apostrophe
yes.
N is how you spell it.
Smile in.
Smile in, yes. 33-16-1 with one no contest. 19 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. So this is fight number, 52 for him. 10-11 with one no contest in the UFC. 0-2 over his last 2 fights. Over his last 7 fights, 0-6-1. His last win was back in 2018. He used to fight at welterweight and middleweight, and he was expecting to fight at middleweight, but this one is up at light heavyweight. So we're going to see even softer looking Sam Alvey on fight night. He was 1-1.
You mentioned he was on the Ultimate Fighter.
that's where I'm headed to. 1-1 the Ultimate Fighter. It was the MFC champ as well. He was 1-1 Bellator. He made his debut in 2008. Plus 300 was where I saw the line in when I checked it. Brendan Allen, all in. Brendan Allen, 17-5, 5 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out twice and submitted once. 5-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4 fights. He won his last fight via TKO. Both of his losses have come via TKO. Both of his most recent losses have come via TKO, should be mentioned. He usually fights at middleweight, correct?
Correct.
So this is up for him, too. He just doesn't want to cut. All right. Makes sense. So basically, this is really 2 light heavyweights fighting each other, not cutting weight. This is short notice for him, very short notice. Less than a week. And the stats say, well, short notice this year are 0-5 so far. Overall, short notice fighters win 38% of the time. I think this may be an exception to the rule. Not tipping my hand or anything. He was the LFA champ and the VF champ. Used to fight at welterweight as well. He's 9 years younger than Alvey. More active striker. Better grappling stats. Minus 400. Over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Allen. Yeah. The problem is that Alvey just won't – he won't engage. Like, the problem with him is he's a power puncher who's doesn't have an itchy trigger finger and just doesn't pull the power punch and has just been – outwork constantly and then shocked that he loses a decision. So, I mean, like, Brendan Allen is not a good matchup for that. He's sharp on the feet. He knows how to stay out of trouble, and he does a really good job at taking people down. I think Brendan Allen is just going to fucking steamroll him.
So not a decision? A finish?
I don't know. It depends on how much Brendan Allen wants to risk. Like, I could see Brendan Allen taking him down and submitting him, but I could also see Brendan Allen being like, all I have to do is throw 2 leg kicks every minute, and that's going to be more than the half a leg kick he throws.
And then we'll have another apoplectic Sam Alvey after the fight. I wanted to say that word.
Yeah, it sounds like he saved up that $2 word.
No, No, I don't save my words. As you know, I say a lot of words. I do not save them. All right. So that's an easy pick. We're on the same page there. Let's move on to interesting one here. Welterweight, Shavkat Rakhimov versus Carlston Harris. Carlston Mogambik Harris versus Shavkat Nomad Rakhimov. So Harris, 17-4, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. 2-0 in the UFC, both via finish. He's won 5 straight fights. He was the Brave FC champ. Striking stats in his favor, plus he's almost 2 times more active striking. Plus 195. Rakhimov, 14-0, 7 knockouts, 7 submissions. So everything's a finish for him. 2-0 in the UFC, both his wins have come via sub. He was the M1 champ. Inch taller, inch of reach, 7 years younger. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 250. My turn now? Or is it your turn now?
Yep.
I don't think I made a pick for the last fight. Brendan Allen is the
pick. I think you agreed.
Yeah. Rakhimov, I think he is underrated, and I'm going against my pick the striker over the grappler. I'm going to take the grappler here. I think his grappling is going to get the job done.
I actually think he's more than a grappler, too. Like, I know the finishes have come that way, but, like, yeah, he's also really powerful. I think he's super well-rounded. Even the sub over Cowboy Oliveira was because he tagged him and made him panic wrestle and then picked up the submission. I think he's just got more ways to win. I will say, while I love Shavkat Rakhmonov and I think he's one of the top prospects here, I think that these odds are like kind of ones I'm leaning away from playing because Carlston Harris does have crazy knockout power. I think Rakhmonov is definitely the better fighter in the smart play here, but I don't think it's smart to play all that much with him because I am just a little bit worried about what Carlston Harris can do.
So you're being a coward, are you?
I am on this one. Yeah. I'll play the coward card on this one.
All right, that's fine. All right. Co-main event. Yes, this is the co-main event. Dan thinks it's a great fight card regardless.
If you put Shavkat Rakhmonov in Carlston Harris with the co-main event, that's fire. Yeah.
This fight card is lousy with middleweights. I'm using the lousy term again, but I guess there's one last middleweight fight now because the Alvey fight has been bumped up. But middleweight fight, Punahele Soriano versus Nick Maximov. Punahele's nickname's Puna. That's not even a nickname, Dan. It's like saying Jeff is my
nickname. No, his nickname's Storytime.
Oh, right, yes, I forgot about that. But people have it listed as Puna, which is like, that's like saying Dan is your nickname, Jeff's my nickname, right?
That's correct, yes.
All right, Maximov is the Nick Diaz protege who got on the same card as Diaz. He was the one that actually deserved to be there on that fight card.
Yeah, correct.
he is 7-0, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. Used to fight at heavyweight. Used to fight at light heavyweight. This one is at middleweight. Inch taller than Soriano, 4 inches of reach, 5 years younger, at plus 160. Puna, or Storytime Soriano is the better name. Why is he Storytime, Dan? Tell us
no
that
idea.
Story now.
I don't know.
What?
I don't know? I actually don't know that one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He hasn't been on your show then, right?
He has not, no.
All right, fine. 8-1, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC, losses, one his first two, lost his last one. 1-0 in Contender Series. He also used to fight at heavyweight. He's 2.5 times more active than Maximov, but that's based off of one fight for Maximov. Minus 200. This is your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to take Puna here, but I also don't feel great about this one. Here's why. Maximov, I don't think, can win this fight unless he can regularly take Puna down and hold him down. I have no idea if he can or cannot do that because I do think he's a good wrestler, but I don't know what Puna's takedown defense looks like because he's essentially not had to defend a takedown for most of his UFC career. Despite as long as it is, I think I saw there was one attempted takedown, maybe two. And it's just like not very much to go on. I do think he's athletic enough and knows what Maximov is doing and is like skilled enough that he'll stuff them. So I'm going to go with him. But again, I don't feel really good about this pick.
Yeah. I'm going Maximov. I think he's worth a splash at plus 160. I think it's worth a little gamble to see if he's all that he's looked like he could be leading up to this fight. So let's splash some money on the underdog here. And we're different on quite a few. Interesting. It'll make Saturday an interesting day to watch fights. All right, middleweights. surprisingly, are in the main event. Jack Hermanson versus Sean Strickland. Sean Thomas Strickland, right? Thomas, I said, right? Yes, Thomas. His nickname's Tarzan. Why is his nickname Tarzan, Dan?
No idea.
You're not going to ask him?
Ask him. I don't think I've ever interviewed him. Maybe like way back in the day.
Before he got crazy.
Yeah.
Was it the motorcycle accident that made him crazy, perhaps?
I'm sure. Why not?
Why not? And Jack is the Joker, Hermanson, obviously. All right. His name may be first on the fight bill, but he is the underdog here. So let's tell you about him first. 22-6, 11 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 9-4 in the UFC. We've got a pattern, Dan. Loss, win, loss, win. He won his last fight. He was the Cage Warriors champ before this. He also won multiple regional championships. Made his debut back in 2010. He's got an inch of reach on Strickland, plus 175. Psycho Tarzan Strickland, 24-3, 10 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once. It's the only time he's been finished. 11-3 in the UFC. He's won 5 street fights. Used to fight at welterweight. He was the King of the Cage champ. Made his debut in 2008. He's 3 years younger than Hermanson. More active striker, minus 225. I will be putting my money on the crazy man, Sean Strickland, who's been looking insanely good in the cage as of late. And I think he, when he's going to win a striking battle against Hermanson.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Strickland too. I don't know that Hermanson can get him down regularly enough. I don't know if he can deal with the pressure of Strickland. There's just like too many things that seem like, man, this doesn't seem like it's going to go his way. So, yeah, like, I really like Jack Hermanson. I'm like a Jack Hermanson fan, but I, like, can't see this fight going his way. I'm having a really tough time drawing a path to victory for him.
Indeed. So we're pretty and do you agree it's probably just going to be a striking performance, maybe a decision win for Strickland?
I think that's probably the way he's going to want to fight it. So I guess we'll see if that's the way he actually fights it or not. But I think that that's probably what he wants to do.
All right. We shall see if it happens. All right. Want to make some recommended plays, Dan? Let's do
sure.
that. So each week we both have $100. So we're not betting much. We're only betting $100 on these total on these recommended plays. As many bets as we want to make. Prop bets, straight up bets, whatever kind of bets you want. And these, like I said, there's some fights I told you to steer clear of. These are ones that we're recommending you play. This is the opposite of that. So after that pointless introduction, Dan, I'll let Dan go first.
All right. I'm going to take, I'm going to say $40 of my 100 and I'm going to put it on Chidi Njikiwani to win straight up. I have that much faith in Chidi right now.
That's some good odds for that one. Minus 105 for that one. I will, what did I see? Let's go $40. Brendan Allen, the number's not good, but he's going to win easily minus 400. So, I will take him.
All right, so my next one is I'm going to steal a little bit of your Brendan Allen play, but just ever so slightly, I'm going to take a parlay. It's my recommended play. I'm going to say parlay Brendan Allen and Jelton Almeida together. I'm going to take $50 on those two combined. And despite the fact they're big, fat odds, I'll take him at – that comes out at negative 175 with them together.
All right, so it's Allen Almeida minus 175, you said?
Yep.
And how much money was it again?
I said 50.
$50. All right. For my next play, I'm just going to go straight up. I think this week, I was getting a little too fancy with the prop bets and whatnot in the other weeks. Let's take $30 on Brian Battle at plus 128. I like that number on him. And that could be a nice little payout. So let's do that.
All right. And then I got $10 left. I'm just going to put that on my favorite underdog of the card, and that's Steven Peterson. I think you quoted him at 220. Like I said, I've seen him as high as 260. Like I said, a little sprinkle on Steven Peterson makes all the sense in the world. So I'll take my last 10 on him.
Plus 220. All right. I think I'll blow my 30. Miles John straight up, minus 200. I was going to say I don't like that line, but that line's actually not that bad for him in that fight. So let's do that. All right. So $40, Andrew Kouani straight up to win. $50, Alan Almeida parlay. We'll get you minus 175. And then $10, Stephen Peterson at plus 220. They are Dan's picks. I have $40 on Brendan Allen winning outright minus 400. $30 on Brian Battle winning underdog plus 128. And then $30 on Miles Johns winning outright minus 200. All right. MVP props and parlays, Dan. You got any others you want to throw out there?
No, so I think I gave you my parlay that I like here. If we're looking for a prop that we're particularly in on here, I actually like, so I didn't put it in here in my recommended plays because it's kind of a long shot or a feels like more of a long shot. But Gelton Almeida, who wins often by submission, also sometimes wins by knockout. You can actually get his Almeida by knockout line at plus 330, which seems crazy. I think they assume he's going to sub Danilo Marquez, which is possible, but Marquez is actually pretty damn good at jiu-jitsu in his own right. So Almeida by TKO almost seems more likely than submission to me in a lot of ways, but you can get it at plus 330. So to pair with my my parlay before, I'll add that one in too.
Very, very nice. Do you have a massive parlay you want to give someone, Dan?
Oh, my massive
Hungry Man John super fan parlay.
Yeah, my Hungry Man John. So we got to start with the people who I actually put in my parlay, right?
Yep.
Which is we're gonna put Almeida and Brendan Allen in that one. I said I was really high on the Chidi and Jikawani line. We'll throw that one in there as well. Let's add Jason Witt, because I do have a lot of faith in Jason Witt. And then we will close with – let's close with Sean Strickland. And that's going to give us just damn near about 10-1.
That's what we aim for every week. And he hit it once. That was what,
13-1.
12 times?
13-1.
Wow. 13-1. Listen to that. And he's never going to stop talking about it.
All right. Well, I stopped talking about Gerald Meerschaert the third winning.
No. Hopefully he gets a fight announced soon. All right, let's put this one to bed. We've talked far, far long enough for you. Please, well, like I said, give us a review. Let us win this contest. Let us have the bragging rights over the rest of SGPN as having the most loyal fans. So just go to Apple, throw us up a review. I don't care what you say in it. Just give us a review. Follow us on Twitter. Jeff Fox writer would be me. I'm three away from 1,000, Dan. Come on, three people. Let's do it.
I should probably follow you back then.
You probably should. he is Gumby Vreeland, and you can listen to his Top Turtle MMA podcast. Who's on this week, Dan?
Both Steven Ocho Peterson and his opponent, Julian Juicy J. Arosa.
That's how we knew the Ocho story. That's how it was fresh in your mind.
I heard that one about, I want to say, 5 years ago. He told me that one.
Well, la-di-da. Listen to this guy. He goes way back with Ocho. So you can listen to that. You can listen to his prelim primer.
Yeah, you got it.
prelim primer podcast, which I've listened to every episode and I was even on it before, and I still have trouble remembering what the name of it is. And then, of course, read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and MMA stuff is over at MMA-manifesto.com, where you can get in on the pick 'em contest I have running on there. That is all. That is enough. Let's put it to bed. We'll be back on Sunday, where we will give you a update on how amazing we did with our picks and who knows what else. We'll have something else up our sleeves, I'm sure. Until Sunday, I am Sexy Mexi, Jeff Fox, and he is Man Mountain Gumby, Daniel Vreeland, and we'll talk to you, you'll listen on Sunday. Bye.